Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 584 of the Drunk Dishwasher Podcast. I'm host as always, I'm Tyler, and joining me, we have the man, the myth, the legend himself, Sir Colonel Gables. What's up, buddy?
I'll tell you what, man. I'm feeling all right now. Past couple days, very much like crazy. Very much like the kind of like stuff that you would kind of expect, you know, from like a retail person inside of working on Black Friday, you know. Only for me this year, it was, oh, hey, your main cashier called out sick. What are we going to do? There's only like a few of us inside here. It's like, oh, hey, Gables, why don't you go forth and man the front for the till and stuff like that. And so that's proceeded with like 2 days straight of a lot of customers, a lot of people going through buying a whole bunch of different things for clothing, like glassware, Christmas stuff. Mm-hmm. And needless to say, it was long-winded. My days literally went by super quick to the point to where yesterday I came in around 8:30. It felt like I was there for like 2 hours because it was just nonstop to the wall. Like, you know, it was just crazy as shit. But did have a good Thanksgiving. That was fine. Absolutely love the fact that on Thanksgiving Day, and so the Niners absolutely took out the Seahawks, which, you know what, it was, I'll say this perfectly, perfectly honestly here, dude. It was so freaking hysterical to me that after that game was over and that post-game, like, interview and stuff when they have with the whole, like, the players and stuff, the turkey, that you see literally, like, the freaking babyface Brock Purdy go through, has this big old freaking like chicken leg or somebody's taking a bite of. You see a freaking Kittle just taking the damn bird and like going all the way back. hey, dude, you want this thing? Just tossing like freaking turkey legs into the crowd. And, like one dude just drops it and stuff. And you see the freaking like Niners fans in Seattle just like freaking just chomping on shit. It was like a freaking sight to behold, man. But yeah, that was fairly enjoyable from that aspect though. But other than that though, I did end up picking up a couple of things after work yesterday from Black Friday stuff. So picture the scene here. I go into my local Walmart. I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe they'll have something here, you know, that I may want to pick up. So look at the selection. There was obviously a lot of, like, the big old, like, big name things. Oh, Madden is, like, $35. Oh, Modern Warfare 3 is, like, $10 off. Oh, Diablo 4 or something like that. That's got, like, maybe $10 off or whatsoever, $60 or something, which, honestly, when you think about when you're doing your whole checking for shopping, that's a horrible deal, because even the digital stuff for on the storefronts like PSN, Xbox, and even on Steam is like $42.
Yeah, but it'll be on Game Pass in months. So.
But the worst of all, man, is like, I was looking at some of the selections, like, man, okay, there's Mortal Kombat 1 that's like about $50 and stuff. I'm not interested in playing that right now. It's like, you see, Assassin's Creed Mirage, that's down to $40. I mean, that's a good deal. That's a good deal. That game just came out. Yeah. And no interest in playing that. On top of that, a lot of things were picked through, but I managed to find not one, but two games. And for pretty good prices, too. So, one I got for about $30. This is a Switch game. Kirby's Return to Dream Land.
Oh, cool.
So, that one I picked up for $30.
Okay.
And the other one I got for $35, also for Switch, Sonic Superstars.
Next time you say anything bad about Last of Us Part 2, Gables, I want you to remember this moment right here where you spent $35 on a shit Sonic game. Okay.
Oh, hey, what do you know? But at the same point, man, it's like I picked up two games. I mean, after enduring the slog of yesterday, I felt like I needed to treat myself. So I freaking went through, got both of these games. I spent like maybe, God, what was it, like, maybe $65, maybe $70, like, max or something for both of those games together. Oh, same price as, like, a game release new for $70 and stuff, but both games released this year. I have been starting a little bit on one of the two and stuff, so let's just say, yeah, this week it's been like 50-50. But anyways, how have you been this week, Tyler?
I'm all right, you know, I've been busy, Thanksgiving, doctor appointments, work's just getting nuts. That time of year for me where I think after this weekend, I have like 3 days off the rest of the, pretty much till Christmas. So it's going to be pretty shitty. But you know, they're not, you know, I'm doing all right, you know, clanging and banging as always. Working the Friday after having Thursday off, Gables, just sucks. You know, just sucks. Yeah. You got people at home just happy, you know, it's like, oh gee, I wonder what that's like, you know, like, you know, the fucking football's on, Iowa's playing, can't watch the Iowa Hawkeye game. Iowa Hawkeye is now 5-0 against Purdy's, which just feels pretty good. So Brock Purdy's younger brother plays for Nebraska. Beat the shit out of that little fucker. So yeah, but other than that, you know, I'm doing all right, you know, clanging and banging is all. I did make one pickup on Black Friday, and mainly because I had like GameStop reward points that expire on the first, so I was like, I gotta spend them before they go bad. So I got an additional $25 off. So I picked up one Game Gables here.
Yeah, what'd you pick up?
Street Fighter VI.
What? Yeah. Okay, okay. Now I am actually kind of like. I'm kind of perplexed right here. It's like, what convinced you that you wanted to go and buy this?
Well, two reasons. A, it was like $40. And then I had $25 in GameStop money that was going to go away. And I didn't know what else to buy. So I'm like, I kind of like, it was like the game I'm most interested in playing out of like what I had, like, because I was looking around. I'm like, I can, you know, there's some older games I was like kind of looking at. And I was like, what sucks is, like, you can't buy something less than $25, because I was like, I could just buy Nier Automata on the Xbox or something. But it was, like, $15. I was like, can't do that. So it was, like, I was thinking about getting Dying Light 2. Or not Dying Light. Dead Island 2. But it was still $50. So I was like, I'll wait for that. That game's going to be $20 probably in 6 months or something. So that's why, you know, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing it. So I got it for $15 basically when it was all said and done. So, that's why I played a little bit. I literally did like 3 matches and got my character made. So that's all I've done so far in that. But, I played a couple other games this week, but, that's really it for me. You know, Thanksgiving was nice. Went over to my parents' house and, had dinner with my parents and my sister and ate some good food and then came home and ate way too much pie, watching football, and then it was nice, and then been kind of a nice little day today. Been a very productive day today, you know. Went finally had to get all the winter shit out because the temperature dropped drastically from Thursday to Friday, and now we got fucking snow, Gables. Finally got all the winter shit out, cleaned up the closets a little bit here. Sorry, Mama. They're not, you know, doing okay, Gables, you know, clanging and banging as always here, but,
I think it's kind of interesting that, you know, inside of your state, plus where you live at and stuff, you're finally getting, like, some bit of snow, and then, like, here in the Pacific Northwest, you know, this past week, it's been kind of weird and stuff, because it's been cold, but at the same point, I had my mom literally, like, text me during my lunch break, like, one time this week or something, say, hey, I just got back from the outside, I was being chased by a freaking wasp, and I'm thinking to myself, it's like, it's the middle of November. Yeah. A fucking wasp.
December is next week.
Exactly. Tyler, this is how crazy it's been in terms of weather-wise up here, to where it's still super warm, that not only certain insects are freaking still around, like kind of active, maybe not as much as say in the summer, but I look outside, all the plants, like the crops and stuff, the vegetables I planted, my fucking jalapeno pepper plants, dude, are still alive.
Gross. In this weather. Gross. I hate jalapenos. They're the Sonic of vegetables,
dude. But they're still freaking awesome.
No, they're not.
They're still
good. They're not. No, no.
Especially on bagels.
No, no. They're at best mediocre, which is what at the high points, and at worst they're Sonic 06. So
nothing tastes as good as a jalapeno cheese bagel. No. Oh, with some cream cheese, dude.
No.
Uh-huh.
No. Not at all. Absolutely. Garbage food. It's all garbage. Them and the onions. Get rid of them. Ban them. Cancel them. I just did. Canceled them. But otherwise, yeah. Believe it or not, people, this is a video game podcast where Gables and I get together every week and talk about video games. So if you like all this, for whatever reason, please like, follow, subscribe. We're on YouTube every week. Usually post Sunday mornings along with every podcast service that you can think of. We're on it. If there's one that we're not on that, you know, you might use, please, you know, hit us up in a comment on YouTube or wherever, Facebook, Twitter, we're on all those places. We're on Twitch as well. Check us out in all those places, like, follow, subscribe, 5-star reviews, leave comments, likes, thumbs up, shares with your friends. Share is probably the best thing you can do for us. We really appreciate it. We're just two guys get together every week, talk about video games. We have full-time jobs, so we don't get paid for this. We pay money to do this, rather.
So
So if you guys could help us out a little bit, get us out there a little bit more, we would appreciate it. And we've been doing this for a little over a decade now, and hey, it'd be nice to get some little love and support out there as well. So get together every week, and I have a couple beers. And then Gables makes fun of me. So that's kind of the podcast. So he's Gables, kind of an ass. Not going to lie to people. But go ahead.
But I will say, Tyler, before we move on stuff, if you are going to be really getting into Street Fighter VI, one word of advice, try out the multiple different kinds of characters and stick with the one that you want to play.
What's the one that starts with the C? The one girl? The new girl?
Cammy.
Now, done. I'm in. I saw her. I'm like, that's it. I'm done. I'm in. That's all I need. Cammy, that's my girl. I'm not trying out anybody. I don't care. I'll suck as her. Yeah, I almost said something much worse. So, we're just gonna end there.
That was like one beer away from it sounding completely Gables, out of right field.
Three sips away from much worse. This week we're doing a little something special here. It's been the holiday weeks, so Gables and I decided to save the prediction for the Game Awards nominations to this week, and I'm so glad we did that, because there ain't shit for game news. Well, there's been very little, so we decided to do it this week. If you are watching us on YouTube, here, if I got this set, oh, wrong thing, oh, God, there we go, got it. This is here, we're doing a little share screen here. You can see we're gonna kind of do our prediction show here for the nominations for not every single category. We're skipping like content creator of the year, because quite frankly, the last 6 years, I think I've known like one person of everybody here. I feel very, it's definitely one of those things where I feel the oldest on some of these, because I'm like, I don't know who the fuck any of these people are.
Plus, let's be perfectly frank though, for that content creator stuff, we're not going to really vote on it, because we know there's going to be like at least, this is what occurs with that category every year. There's one super popular person out of that entire thing, and usually that person wins. This year's, it's Iron Mouse, so it's like, we're not even going
to
bother.
Yeah, I don't even know who the fuck Gables explained to me who Iron Mouse was before the podcast, and kind of wish he just never did, because it was quite upsetting for me. I don't know if they're a good...
No, she's super nice, though.
I'm sure she is, but you told me she's a VTuber, and I'm worse for knowing that, so... never mind. You're not that.
Your kryptonite.
No, Sonic is. But they're definitely like, they're like the red kryptonite. They make me do bad things. I don't know what's happening anymore. We're doing this. We're gonna go through, not like I said, esports we're skipping because that's just not our bag. Content creator. There's a couple of the ones we're gonna skip, like mobile, VR. Stuff like that. So I think there's like 21 categories we counted here that we're going to go through. So, Gables and I are going to go one via one here. Gables, give me a second here. I'm going to pull up Skype here, and I'm going to do a little share screen so you can follow along as well.
Okay.
So there we go. Gables, is that working for you, buddy?
Let's see. Yep, it is.
All right, cool. So Gables will be able to follow along as well as the audience if you're watching us on YouTube. Like I said, there's links to all of our stuff in the description down below if you want to click on that, or just look up Drunk Dash or Drunk Nerds Podcast wherever, and you'll find us pretty much everywhere. But if you want to follow along on YouTube, you can there. So we're gonna start off here, Gables, with the first category, most anticipated game. Nominees are Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Hades 2, Like a Dragon: Infinite Wealth, Star Wars Outlaws, Tekken 8. Gables, what are you thinking here?
Dude, I think this is a no contest for this category. It's going to be Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all that I've been hearing across the whole past year here, or even like after like the friggin' trailer was pretty much dropped or so this past year and stuff.
Yeah. I'm
just clamoring for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. We saw gameplay of that thing. We saw specific points inside, like, that was based upon the original Final Fantasy VII. Mm-hmm. For very much like in the realm of like, oh shit, this is actually something that we're going to be keeping tabs of come February of next year.
February 29th.
So, yep, a leap year, a leap day.
Yeah,
this thing released.
Yeah, almost 4 years to the day. Man, my nipples got hard just you talking about that gameplay, and I started imagining in my mind. Oh, I'm 100% with you here. It's actually, I mean, I think next year is, it's hard. You can't really compare this. I don't think you compare this year to any other year, but we've had a really good stretch of years. I'd say the majority of the last, really since like 2016, it's just been really phenomenal years. I feel like this year might be the lightest as far as just, there's a lot of games with dates, but aren't with 2024 as the release year, but not a lot of dates right now. So it's a very, you know, it's hard to, it's, you look at last year's most anticipated, it's like, Jesus, what a fucking year this is going to be. And then there was so much more than what those things were. And this is a great list here. Like Hades 2, but like, I don't know, Hades 2 might this will come out in early access this year. Is that actually going to come out 1.0 next year? Who knows? Infinite Wealth, I know, is going to have a lot of, like a Dragon's going to have a lot of fanfare behind that one. Star Wars Outlaws, what we've seen of that looks really cool, but I'm, you know, it's like,
right,
looks great, but I'm like, in the end, this game is just, it's a Ubisoft game. So if this is going to end up being a Ubisoft map game with a Star Wars skin on it, who knows? Tekken 8 looks phenomenal for people that are into that. You know, Gables is super pumped for that one. But I'm going
to,
I'm with you, Gables, Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth. It's, I mean, it's one of my Final Fantasy remakes, one of my favorite games of all time. So I am so pumped to play the sequel. So, moving on here to our next topic, Gable's best adaptation here. So this is like for TV shows and movies based off of video game properties. So we have Castlevania Nocturne. Is that right?
Yeah, Nocturne.
Okay. Gran Turismo, Last of Us, Super Mario Brothers movie, Twisted Metal. I've seen three of the five. Gran Turismo, I think, is like on Mac, like you can just like, I heard it's actually just a fun movie, which honestly, like for a Gran Turismo movie, like that's really all I need to just be fun. Just entertain me for, I don't know, 90 minutes to 2 hours. I don't know much about Castlevania Nocturne. It didn't seem like it kind of blew up like the previous Castlevania shows have done. But I look like Twisted Metal, like that's actually turned out to be a really great show. It's like, it's just like, it's kind of like the Gran Turismo thing where it's like, it just needs to be entertain me. I ended up watching, I talked about it like a while ago. Like I ended up watching that show, like literally in one sitting. Like four and a half, 5 hours. It's just like super, it just entertained me. It was just a good Sunday. I just ended up, like it was a rainy day and I'm just watching it all in one day. And it was the perfect sit down, you know, kind of go through the show. But I think really it comes down to Super Mario Brothers, the movie, and Last of Us. I thought the Mario movie was fine. It was entertaining. It was entertaining. It was enjoyable for me. Like things I loved about it was all the things like with like the little musical touches, the little Easter eggs here and there. But like as far as like a movie goes, didn't blow me away. To me, it's Last of Us is gonna win this one. I that show was phenomenal. They nailed it. I feel like everybody was pumped for this. Last of Us fans and non fans, like it's one of the few shows I talked to a lot of people that know nothing about the TV show, and they were like at work, multiple people at work were like talking to me about the show every week and like how much they're loving it, and like I'm like, they were talking about, I was like wanting to hear their theories about what they're gonna, I'm like, oh man, this is so fun, like to be, it's like when you like a movie comes out based off a book or something like that, or like a TV show come based off a book and they start talking to someone about that read all the books and you're just like I was finally on the other side of it where I'm like, oh man, I can't wait to next Sunday when they get to this part here or this happens. And to me, I think it's Last of Us is going to be the winner of this category. What about you, Gables?
I absolutely do feel like The Last of Us is going to win this category. And that's because of not only how much accolades that season one got, and also with season two, that's going to be coming up fairly soon. But also, it's just the fact that out of all the nominees inside this list and stuff, I feel like that this is like another no-brainer category, because even though the Super Mario Bros. Movie, that's the one I've actually got a chance to watch this year. I watched maybe like an episode or two of Twisted Metal and Peacock, but I had no interest in even watching like Castlevania Nocturne stuff, because even though I am a fan, and I did love like the first two and a half seasons or so like of Castlevania and stuff like that for Netflix and stuff, this one didn't really pinpoint any type of interest. And plus, they did change like a couple different things about some of the characters and also some of the things inside the initial show. This just kind of turned me off, so I never even bothered wanting to watch it.
Okay.
Gran Turismo didn't really have a chance to I've seen previews of it, but the movie doesn't interest me. It just seems like one of those cheap cash and stuff for a movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, Last of Us is going to take this one.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be stunned if Mario wins it. It wouldn't stun me, but to me, I just those are like those are the two, and I think Last of Us will win it. But like, if Mario, it's to me, it's like borderline coin flip for me of like who can win it, because Mario is by far the most popular of the two, but I think Last of Us was probably the better perceived, like reviewed wise, consumer, like everything like that. I feel like overall it was people thought it was better. So,
Yeah.
moving on here to next category, Gables best multiplayer. So far we're said the exact same thing on 2 for 2. Let's see if we have a breakup here. Best multiplayer game though, we have Baldur's Gate 3, Diablo 4, Party Animals, Street Fighter 6, Super Mario Brothers Wonder. How you feeling, Gables, in this one?
Yeah, this is kind of going to be a weird one right here because all these games, man, all these games have like different forms of like multiplayer, like co-op type of things, you know. Super Mario Brothers Wonder, you know, kind of like has that sort of like in there out there and stuff where you don't even have to be like with the actual player
Yeah.
themselves in order to enjoy the game and stuff. I mean, you can help them with levels or something, but I mean, you and I tried it out during Extra Life, like online with each other. We helped each other out and
Yeah.
stuff, progress through certain levels and stuff, and and what's funny is you were in my game and stuff, completing stuff. I could see you actually go through and completing stuff, and then like in turn you saw me completing some of the stuff in your game as well.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't call this like a great multiplayer stuff. I thought it was okay for something like say like Diablo 4 or like Party Animals, you know. It's like those could be like good in terms of either teamwork stuff or in case of Party Animals and stuff, just absolutely just like just shoot the shit with your friends and this and that. Street Fighter 6, I feel like does have a strong multiplayer. It
Yeah.
definitely has a strong multiplayer, especially with the whole PvP
In the
stuff.
hub world, people
Yeah.
seem pretty happy with, so.
But I feel like that Baldur's Gate 3 is going to be taking this category for best multiplayer. And the reason why I feel that is because when it comes to these styles of like RPGs and stuff, having a group of friends with you is kind of inside of this game is sort of similar to how you would do like say a play a D&D game in real life, to where you build your character, there's different die rolls and stuff in terms of different commands and stuff. And obviously, I mean, I've heard a lot of great things about Baldur's Gate 3, never played it myself, but I have seen the reactions and like the various stuff from other gamers that have played this game, especially with other friends, and they think it's a freaking blast. So I think that's going to be taking it.
Yeah, it's a very weird list, I would say.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know if it's a good I don't know if it's like, is this a really good year, or is this kind of a like Party Animals, like I like that game. I thought, I don't know, I don't like it. It's a multiplayer game, so obviously it's you have to have good online, but I didn't love that game that much, but I know people, I don't know, people love like enjoy those style of games, but it was on Game Pass. I played it for a little bit. And it was like fine, it's whatever. I think Mario Brothers Wonder is like on here almost just because people are just shocked like how well it actually worked, more than anything. Like
Yeah.
and how good it was. I mean, on top of it, like how well it worked, how good it was. Like it's just like I think maybe the first Nintendo game we could say that about, for like good quality like online. And yeah. I don't think it's gonna win. But I was pleasantly surprised with it, and I was playing the game online, and it was just not like one major. Like I feel like it's almost like grading on a curve for Mario, because to me, what stunned me was like when you booted the game back up and you went back to the game after you closed it, you didn't have to like re-log back in to go online like every other
Yeah,
like Mario
really.
game, or like or every other Nintendo like online game, like or any every other Nintendo, yeah, can't talk, Nintendo game. Like every time like you play Pokemon, like and you like close the game or whatever, you had to go back in and turn yourself back online. It's like, it was like, why?
Yep.
Like it actually worked really well and it was fun. It definitely, yeah, I liked it, and like definitely like playing it and like people putting the signposts up or coming saving you or saving other people. I like that. I think it worked. Like I think they did a really cool thing with like what they can do with Nintendo Online, and they made a really good, they did a really good job with it, I'll say. True for six, I you know, like I said, the hub world, I've heard people really like. You talk about online is phenomenal, so
Oh
no
yeah.
surprise there.
The whole
Diablo,
rollback stuff when you're playing against people, it's fucking fantastic.
yeah. Diablo 4, obviously, I mean, that's that game online is crucial for that game, and rating and everything like that. It's crucial to have great online. And but yeah, I agree with you. I think it's Baldur's Gate 3 in the end, where like it's, yeah, like I said, it's a D&D game with your friends. You get to play like online, and it's like with, yeah, it's a phenomenal game. It's one probably that's good. It's definitely, I mean, it's nominated for Game of the Year. We'll talk about it. We're gonna see it more because it's, I think this Baldur's Gate 3 and Alan Wake 2 were both tied for 8 nominations, so we're gonna see it a lot more. So yeah, but yeah, I mean, I think so far that's three for three now we have tied on. So See if we break it up here. Gables with best sports slash racing game. We have EA Sports, FC 24, F1 23, Forza Motorsports, Hot Wheels Unleashed, Turbo Charge, The Crew Motorfest. This to me is like, I so often we just see a lot of like literally F1 and EA Sports. Last year was FIFA, obviously, but FC 24, those games were nominated last year. I mean, we do have 3 racing games here, which is nice, and 3 different style racing games. We have Simulation 1 and Forza Motorsports. We have The Crew Motorfest, which is like a little more arcadey of like a, but with like, you know, racing game. And then we have Hot Wheels, which is just like a crazy over the top racing game. So I'm going to go Forza Motorsports, maybe, but I don't feel great about it because I don't know. It came out and it did fine, it seemed like, but it doesn't feel like it blew the socks off of people like we were expecting. It's kind of,
yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem with this category, because from this year, when it came to any type of sports games or racing games, I mean, this is a good representation of what the releases were like this year for those particular genres, which is like basically games that release like mid at best in terms of reception from critics. And I do agree with you and stuff. I would also pick Forza Motorsport for this because at the same point, you know, it's like out of all of these different games and stuff, the one that really has done the strongest in terms of the not just commercial value and stuff, and also in terms of like gameplay stuff, is Forza Motorsport, even though that's not as strong as previous Forza Motorsport games,
yeah,
from what I come to understand. Haven't never played it, but at the same time, this one definitely seems like, I feel like it's going to be the winner of this.
Yeah. I'm hoping, it'd be great to see the Crew Motorfest win it, just because it'd be nice to see like a different, you know, it's a Ubisoft game, but it'd be nice to see like a different, you know, like a big racing game get involved and be taken a little more seriously. Cause I mean, the Crew was like, I talked about it like earlier this year, like it came out that like, Ubisoft had mentioned like the first 2 Crew games combined had sold over 25 million copies, which who would have known? Like, to me, you would like, I knew the Crew was like a franchise, but I didn't think it was anything like the right home about. But to come find, like, quietly, this franchise is actually very popular. So I'd like to, honestly, like, I've never played the Hot Wheels games, but I've heard they're phenomenal. So I'd like to see Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 win it, honestly. It would just be fun to see, like, kind of like throw a wrench in there every now and again, you know, fuck with the system a little bit. So I'm personally rooting for Hot Wheels Unleashed 2, but I don't know. I think it's just like, it's a little engine that could. On this one so far, but it's 4 in a row, Gables, that we have agreed upon. Let's see if we break it up here with best sim strategy game, Gables. We have Pikmin 4, Fire Emblem Engage, Company Heroes 3, City Skylines 2, Advance Wars 1 plus 2, Reboot Camp 3.
That's crazy. Boy.
3 Nintendo games in this list here. I've only played Advance Wars 1 plus 2. I don't know, Gables. What are you thinking on this one, buddy?
All right, well, I know I have 3 out of the 5 games here in this category. I have played a good chunk of Advance Wars 1 plus 2 Reboot Camp, played a little bit of Fire Emblem Engage, and I have played some of Pikmin 4 as well. From this whole best sim strategy stuff like that, I would actually think that probably one of the better strategy games here is Pikmin 4. I would say Pikmin 4 because it presents Pikmin in a way to where it feels familiar, but it's definitely evolved from some of the gameplay aspects of the first 3. It feels like it's a lot more condensed and modernized to where it doesn't feel as readily frustrating as some of those earlier games.
Yeah.
Even from the initial things of when you're like exploring different terrains and stuff, I mean, you adequately have access to, like, say, certain maps or certain, like, different things, like, you can look for and stuff. Plus, the new Pikmin introduced did put in some more layer of depth depth that I did really appreciate, the little glow in the dark Pikmin and like all that other stuff, But I feel like that one would be a winner for that category.
Okay. Yeah, this is another one where it's just, I feel like it's a coin flip. I borderline like why is Pikmin 4 in a sim strategy category? I guess I don't know. Maybe it makes sense. I don't know. I'd put that more
It
like.
is sort of like a management sort of style of game. I mean, I would actually kind of argue with, like, say, Fire Emblem Engage being inside of this category, because it's more like a turn-based, like, RPG in
Yeah,
that
but
aspect.
it's the same type of game as Advance Wars, so I can see why it's in there. Like Company Heroes 3 is the same thing. Man. Yeah, I was gonna say Pikmin Four Gables, but I really don't want to do five in a row. So I'm gonna go just to be different. I'm gonna say Company of Heroes 3, even though I don't believe it's actually the case. But just to be different. We're gonna break it up, Gables. But I'm rooting for Pikmin Four. Look at that cute little fucker. I
Dude,
hope they win.
I think it's hysterical that we go like five categories and we're freaking thinking the same freaking thing like for each
Yeah,
time.
yeah. All right, let's move on here. Best family here. Kind of always known as like the Nintendo category, but I think this year we've only got, well, I guess we got three. I guess Disney Illusion Island is a Switch exclusive, unfortunately. We have here Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Moving on. Pikmin 4, Party Animals, and Disney Illusion Island for best family game. There's a fifth game in here, but it's not worth mentioning. It's based it's basically it's a game based off the Sonic fast food franchise. Anyways, best family game here. I'm gonna go Mario Wonder. I heard Disney Illusion Island looks like fun as hell, but it's like a $40 game, and I'm like, I was actually really excited to play it, and then I saw the price point, and I'm like, oh wait, that's cheaper. And I actually did see it was $20 recently, but I missed the sale, so because I was gonna definitely pick it up, but because this looks like a Rayman game, but like with Disney characters, and that seems fun. Party Animals, like definitely, I mean, like hey, that fits in this category for sure. It's like it's definitely a game for everybody. Pikmin 4, I think part of the problem is I look at I think a lot of people and myself included look at this franchise almost like it's a game that's for everybody to play, but also you can play with multiple people. And I know Pikmin 4 is a two-player game, but I feel like that's going to hinder it here. I mean, I don't know. Why is there a game based off Sonic Burgers and Shakes? I don't know. But I mean, that game sucks, I'm sure. So I'm gonna go with Super Mario Brothers Wonder. That's my pick. What about you?
Honestly, out of all these games, Super Mario Bros. Wonder is the strongest opponent, so that's the choice I would go with.
Man, I did not see this happening. We're just agreeing on everything here. Normally, it's not like this. Normally, Gables and I are very
No,
different opinions on these things.
absolutely. This is really not normal, but I think this is more of how the Game Awards nominations and stuff for these different categories end up turning out, to where a lot of them have been fairly obvious. I mean, hell, if we're mostly guessing the same, besides you going through with getting Company of Heroes like 3 and stuff like that because you wanted to be different and stuff, I mean, that just tells like how weird and bizarre some of these choices were for these categories.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, but I'm like, man, like some of these, like, I don't know, every now and then we get surprises, like It Takes Two winning Game of the Year and stuff. All right, let's move on to the next one. Best fighting game. We're gonna pick
Why don't
this.
you go first?
We're gonna pick the same one again here. I know it. We have God of Rock, which Gables, I heard of God of Rock very little bit about it. You know what this game currently has on Metacritic?
Nope.
A 62.
62.
Yeah, so
Okay.
at least we didn't have Sifu this year, so that's something. We moved up in the world. Mortal Kombat 1, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2, which I heard is actually pretty good. Pocket Bravery, which I personally have never heard of before, and then Street Fighter 6. It's really a two-man race here. It's a two-horse race. I'm going Street Fighter 6. I thought Mortal Kombat 1, honestly, it's a phenomenal. The gameplay is great. The fighting is phenomenal. I was like, I played those games for the story, just like when I used to read Playboy back in the day, I just read it for the articles. And I really, but I just thought that story was just, it started off so well and just fell off a fucking cliff. We got all the microtransaction shit that I think has definitely kind of hurt some people's feelings since then. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Street Fighter 6. It seems like it came out hot And people are just pretty happy with it continuing on. You know what? It's been 5 months now, and people are pretty happy with it still. So what about you, Gibbles?
Honestly, considering this is probably the only fighting game I've actually played this year, yeah, Street Fighter VI is definitely the winner of this category, and that's because it's done a lot of things right in terms of not just fighting game genre itself, but it is definitely one of those type of games to where it has a solid online, it has lots of different characters you can go through and experiment with. It is relatively fantastic for the whole, like, ease of use stuff in order to get people new into fighting games and stuff. You actually have multiple layers to where you have the tools and mechanics that'll help you learn better in terms of, like, how you can do your timing skills, how you can go and execute certain combos and stuff. This is definitely the gateway for people wanting to get into fighting games and then, you know, giving them kind of like the keys to the whole, keys to like the home and stuff like that. Okay, here you go. Have fun with it. So yeah, this is definitely the best fighting game this year. So that's my choice. Street Fighter VI.
All right. Well, let's see if the streak ends here. Best RPG. Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 16, Liza P, Sea of Stars, Starfield. I'm pretty sure two of these games are RPGs, but this is what we got here. Gables, I'm going to let you go first on this one, buddy.
Oh, okay.
This is a good. This is a really good category, honestly. I mean, it's like five phenomenal games. Two shouldn't be there, but there's five phenomenal games here.
I'd actually argue the Final Fantasy 16 shouldn't be here.
That's what I mean. Two Final Fantasy 16 Lies of P should not be in here.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, Final Fantasy 16 Lies of P, I would definitely say would be loosely RPGs and stuff.
They have mechanics.
But they have mechanics.
Every fucking video game nowadays has mechanics. Madden has RPG mechanics.
It's not the sole reason why. It's not the sole, like, implicator and stuff that is the crux of its core. They're action games, pure, first and foremost. But if I had to really give a choice right here, I mean, I've definitely have tried out Sea of Stars. I've tried out Starfield and stuff. Oh my god, I feel like for this category, man, I wish I played more Sea of Stars, though. I mean, that game is pretty fucking good. But I would say Baldur's Gate 3 wins this category for best RPG.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think just because the fact that two of these games shouldn't actually be here. Sea of Stars is just kind of like that, it's that token indie game that gets in here. But also, I mean, deserved it. It does. I mean, I'm not saying, like, we see those indie games get nominated. Usually we get one a year in Game Award, in the game, like, video, the game of the year. And, like, I agree it should be there, but it's like, you know, you're not going to be there. But it's just like, it's definitely one of those things where it's just nice to be nominated. And I feel like a lot of these categories this year, where you look at some of these games where it's like, seems pretty cut and dry. I think it really is a two-man race between Starfield and Baldur's Gate 3 here again. I didn't see Star. I don't think Starfield's nominated.
I actually kind of feel like that it's a two horse race and stuff between Baldur's Gate 3 and Sea of Stars, personally, because I don't feel like Starfield is of that caliber to where it's better than Sea of Stars, personally.
I mean, I put 55 hours in Starfield. I love that game. I've talked about it over and over again. I have a lot of problems with that game. The reason I say that is because, I mean, it definitely comes down to also, you know, how many people play the game? So there's like that little bit of that. I mean, I hate to say popularity contest for lack of a better term. That's what you go with, I guess. But a lot more people played, you know, Sea of Stars or played Starfield than Sea of Stars.
Right.
So that's why I put it over that. I think Sea of Stars is definitely third. But I do. It's like the reason I talk about when we made predictions for what we thought would be Game of the Year nominated, where it's like Starfield is just, you know, much like Final Fantasy 16. It's just divisive enough. It's definitely split enough where, like, it's definitely where people are just kind of like, no one really thinks it's bad, but enough people are just like, it's kind of like, I just didn't click for me. And some people just absolutely adore it. And you know, I was definitely closer to the, I adore it than I was, didn't click for me. But yeah, I'm gonna go Baldur's Gate 3, but I'd like to see Starfield win it, just be a, or see a Stars, one of those two win it. Be funny, have a nice little upset in there, because I feel like Baldur's Gate 3 is going to win a lot of different awards this year. But I don't know. It'd be nice to see one of those two win it. But yeah, I agree. It's just Man, here we go. Continuing on. Best action adventure game here. Alan Wake 2, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Tears of the Kingdom.
Tyler, you're up first.
What? God damn it, I am up first. Same.
Gables, you're the one that has the most experience with each one of these games.
I've beaten all five of these, yeah. And, I mean, I haven't really begun to even, like, think about what my top 10 game of the years will be. Because I usually start to, like, try to work on it this time of year. Like, try to, like, not, like, figure it out, but, like, try to put, like, my talking points together, figure out what's my short list. And every time I go look at, like, what I have on, like, my list of games to even, like, begin to work down, I just get overwhelmed and I'm just like, I'll come back later. When we do our Game of the Year podcast in the year, Gables, I might literally be working it out still during the podcast. Fuck me. I love all these games. All five of these games, I don't want to say will be on my top 10 list because this is a Game of the Year list right here. If you like just show these five games coming out the same year, like, and it was like, hey, these are like the top five games that came out this year. Like, holy shit, what a phenomenal year. I'm like, what if I told you there's like eight more? I'm like, oh my God.
Oh.
Fuck. It's just like, it's just like trying to pick a favorite child, you know? I'm losing it, man. I'm gonna take Star Wars Jedi Survivor out because
okay.
I feel like enough people that played it at launch, like I've talked about, like it worked. I had very few issues, and the issues I did have were like just weird like visual bugs and no like, you know, dropping through the world, no major like, you know, oh, I had to reboot the game, like nothing major happened to me. So like to me it worked for the most part flawlessly. But I feel like enough people probably played the game at launch and were pretty frustrated with it. So I'm going to take it out for that reason. Fuck me. Resident Evil 4. I'm just trying to make an argument in my head for why I wouldn't win. And I got nothing on these. Shit. I think it's probably, I don't have a good argument for why, Gables. I can't tell you why I feel this way. I think it would come down to the final two between, not for me personally, but just trying to work, you know, in my head here. It's going to come down between Alan Wake 2 and Tears of the Kingdom. I think you can probably make a good argument for Spider-Man 2 in there. I think Resident Evil 4 came out in March, so it's been just long enough. These Tears of the Kingdom is one of the greatest games of all time. You know, it came out in May. It's still one of the most talked about games of the year. And Marvel Spider-Man 2 and Alan Wake 2 literally came out a month ago. So those are very much in the forefront of people's minds. But I think people were more surprised by Alan Wake 2 than like Marvel Spider-Man 2 is a phenomenal game, but it's just like, hey, it was like, it's just we've just built on the bones of Spider-Man 1, and like that's not a bad thing. That's great. And that game is phenomenal. It's one of the,
that's the purpose of a sequel.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not trying to use that as an insult, but I feel like when you try to like make these arguments here, it's like, what do these games do that's so different from everything else? And it's like, you know, it's like Marvel Spider-Man 2 is like the one argument I could make against it is like, it's like it's like, hey, it's a sequel. You know, it's like, hey, I'm like, I don't know. You can use that as an argument if you want to against it. That's why, I guess literally Tears of the Kingdom is literally built upon the bone. It's the same fucking map as well, dude. But it's so much, you know, so much more than that.
Four out of the five games in this categories are building off of the bones of their previous entries.
Yeah,
I mean, Resident Evil 4 is the remaster of the fourth
remake.
Game.
It's a remake, yeah. I mean, it's literally it's a completely different game. It's a
remake.
Yeah, it's barely a remake. It's completely, like, you just follow the storyline. It's a totally different thing than that original game was. I'm going to go Alan Wake 2, but I don't know why, but I've delayed it long enough to make a pick, and that's the one I'm going to go with. What about you, Gables?
I will go Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay.
I will definitely go Tears of the Kingdom, even not having played Alan Wake 2 or Marvel Spider-Man 2 or some. Because here's the thing. I do not feel that Tears of the Kingdom is going to win Game of the Year. I feel like that it's going to be winning a couple other categories and stuff, definitely getting some accolades at the Game Awards, and I feel like this is going to be one of the two that's going to be in here. Because if not, then the second one I'm thinking is going to be going, in case, you know, it's probably going to be Alan Wake 2 because of the whole momentum that game has had since its launch, and also surprising a lot of gamers in regards to not just the quality of the game itself, but like just the narrative is unlike anything in a survival horror game
that
people have experienced since then.
It's just games that general.
Both makes me curious and also kind of makes me wonder, it's like, oh, man, a lot of people are talking about this. I should really give this game a try sometime.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of mentality you need to have in order for like a game of the year or like a game like one of the best games period in terms of like a yearly release. But gonna go with Tears of the Kingdom of this, because it's a solid game, definitely has a lot of like innovative like gimmicks and stuff that build on the backbone of Breath of the Wild. Definitely has a lot of good like solid stuff you can do, and quite honestly at this point I've spent at least over 25 hours playing that game, gone poised past the first section, inside the second section. There's been so much stuff that you can potentially do inside of this stuff that is definitely more, like, maybe evolved and stuff from Breath of the Wild, that it's one of those games I keep myself, like, going back to and stuff from time to time. It just work a little bits, like, here and there and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I just kind of look at, I was, like, in my head, adding up the time. It's, like, between these five games, I probably have 175 hours into them invested combined. I agree with you. Like, that's definitely like the thing I've done in the past where it's like, oh, well, people are going to vote for it here, so they might like, they think it's going to win here, so they're going to vote for it here, you know. And I get right. That I've done that argument in the past as well. I feel like though, like, in the end, it doesn't happen as much as we think. But I mean, I don't know. I have to go back and double check that, but I feel like more times than not, I did that. I'm like, oh, this is going to win because people are going to vote for this here. People will vote for this here. But I don't know. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Next up, Gables. Man, that was a fucking tough category here. That one. This one, oh my God, this one. Best action game. Advance, what the fuck? Armored Core 6, Fires Rubicon, Dead Island 2, Ghost Runner 2, Hi-Fi Rush, My Sweet Baby Boy, and Remnant 2.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so pretty good list here.
Yeah.
I kind of talked about a lot last week. I feel like we gotta do some fixing up of these categories and like what is an RPG, what's an action adventure game, what's an action game. Because like what the fuck is the difference between like a Dead Island 2 and anything in an action adventure category?
Inside of this category, I'm looking at this list right now and stuff, and you know what? We kind of had a little bit of complaints about the RPG category because it has, like, two games that have, like, RPG mechanics inside of there, which basically does not mean you should classify it as RPG, but...
All of these games have RPG mechanics in them.
Exactly. And especially, like, say, Armored Core 6 and stuff like that, because that also could be technically considered a RPG by the Game Awards standards.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last week, but it's like, I feel like when you look at, like, Baldur's Gate 3... and like Starfield, you can argue those games are built around the role-playing mechanics of their games. So yeah, that's a role-playing game, you know? Just because, I don't know. Anyways, I don't want to get in this rant again, but Gables, I had to go first last time. I'm going to make you go first this time.
I'm going to go with Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon, only because of the fact that the gameplay is pretty damn solid. It's tough as hell. Definitely isn't like, say, on the same caliber, say, like with an Elden Ring in that regards, because Elden Ring was like fucking phenomenal. It was unlike anything previous that I have personally played in terms of like a long-term action game. It was just like a more hardcore-esque type of like Zelda in some aspects. But I like Armored Core 6 in terms of the custom mobility and stuff of your mech and stuff, and like even like going through the explorations and stuff. This is the first time I've ever played like a game, like say with big old like mech robots and stuff, where it feels so smooth to go and not only control, but to go and like just have this fast, intense action stuff with these various like big old robot fights and stuff. It felt like something that I've wanted for a long time instead of a video game, to where, you know, I was a big old fan of, like, say, like, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, right? The whole Megazords battling monsters and stuff, and, like taking out the monsters, you know, that whole Monster of the Week category stuff. And also, I was a fan of, like, the old school Godzilla movies and stuff, and, like, just those type of, like, big, like kaiju movies and stuff. But at the core and stuff, I love the idea of, like, controlling my own, like, robot, just, like, just taking out shit, taking out enemy fighters, taking out monsters, doing this stuff. And this is pretty much one of the best games in order to kind of get that type of a fix. But in terms of, like, an action game stuff, I feel like FromSoft were made a great game instead of Armored Core 6, Fires Rubicon, and I feel like that's going to be winning the best action game.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like Dead Island 2 is, like, I think it's just one of those things where people, like, that game came out, it surprised people quite a bit. That was a game that we all thought would just be a trash fire, and ended up actually being a really good, solid game.
Yeah.
Ghost Runner 2 is just it's definitely that game is phenomenal, but it has, you know, it doesn't have a huge audience behind it, but I it's definitely got a big enough audience. Remnant 2 is a game I know is also really good. Hi-Fi Rush, my sweet little baby boy. I want it to win everything. It deserves everything it wants. If it wants to go to Harvard, goddamn it, you can go. You want to go on stage and tackle Jeff Keighley? Go right fucking ahead. You can do whatever the fuck you want. I love you so much. I want Hi-Fi Rush to win. I'm not gonna lie to you. That, like, I voted on some of these guys. I already voted myself. Hi-Fi Rush, I did vote for on this category. But I agree with you, Gables. It's gonna be Armored Core 6. So I think it's,
oh, damn,
this might be the only category that I think it's actually nominated for. Armored Core 6. I don't know. I think there's one more, maybe. I guess we'll find out in a second. But yeah, I think it's Armored Core 6. So yeah. Moving on here. Best AR VR, we can skip that one. Best mobile, we can skip that one. Best debut indie game, Gables.
Oh
my goodness. So Viewfinder, Venba, Pizza Tower, Dredge, Cocoon. I have beat Venba. I have beaten Cocoon. I have not played Viewfinder, but I've actually watched some stuff on it. That game is fucking beautiful, man. I think the game, the puzzles, and that mind-bending, mind-blowing, that way the game works. Pizza Tower, I don't know much about it, but I know people love it. Same thing with Dredge. I know they're not for me style games, but I know people out there that really love those games. When I think about it, I mean, I would love Venba to win that game. That was definitely one of the, it's like you can beat the game. It's on Game Pass if people haven't played it, but it's only like 90 minutes. It's just a fucking beautiful game from art design, characters, the way the story is told to you, just, you know, it's just you literally making food and, like, getting the story told to you and, like, learning the history of this family and this culture.
Right.
And they just tell a gut punch of a story along the way. And I was in a fucking puddle of tears by the end of that fucking game. That game was beautiful. So I very much want Venba to win it. I voted Venba. Even though I would say I like Cocoon more as a game. I love Cocoon is phenomenal. Really is, like, just a really great puzzle based game. Definitely scratches that itch of, like, you know, I've talked about forever. Like, I love the play dead games, like Inside and Limbo. And this is former developers that broke off and made the Cocoon, and, like, man, I love that the puzzles are trippy, the way, like, the worlds inside the worlds, and the way you, like, just, like, break your fucking brain. But I think it's gonna be Cocoon, but man, I so badly would love it. I would be so fucking happy if Venba wins it. So that is my pick, is Venba as far as personal, but I think it's gonna be Cocoon. What about you, Gables?
Okay. So out of this entire list here, I think I've only played a little bit of Cocoon. But if I had to take a guess in terms of who's going to win this category for debut indie game, I think it's going to be something that we're not going to see coming. I feel like this is going to be like one of like a sleeper categories that's going to be going to either Pizza Tower or Viewfinder. And that's because of this kind of, like, for Pizza Tower, it's more of, like, say, a arcade style of, like, game in that regards, but for Viewfinder, it's more perspective and also in terms of like how interesting some of the gameplay, like puzzles, can be. So if I'm gonna go and take a pick here, I am actually gonna go with Pizza Tower on this one.
Okay, all right. I would not be stunned, honestly, if Dredge wins it. Like, I think that's probably the most popular of these, but I think that's probably the number two for me if I had to pick one. But man, go Venba, please. Next up here, best independent game. Cocoon. we have Cocoon, we have Dredge, Sea of Stars, and Viewfinder. And then last but not least, the little indie game owned by a multi-billion-dollar company in Dave the Diver. So I really hope, like, I no disrespect to Mint Rocket or Dave the Diver. They themselves said they're not an independent. It's not an independent game. They're not an independent studio. I really hope, just for the sake of this award, they don't win it. And like I said, no disrespect to them. But I'm going to go Sea of Stars. What about you, Kibbles?
I am also going to go Sea of Stars. All right. Because out of everything that I've seen with that game and also having played it, it is definitely the diamond in this sea of independent games that were released this year. I feel like this is probably the most strongest in terms of quality and also the strongest in terms of like replayability out of all these other indie games that have come out this year. So that's my pick.
Well, you obviously didn't play the independent game Zelda Tears of Kingdom, so. All right, best community support. We have Baldur's Gate 3, Cyberpunk 2077, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, No Man's Sky. Gables, I'm going to take this one first.
I'm going to laugh my ass off if everybody decides to do a troll thing and vote Destiny 2.
I hope the fuck not. They don't deserve
it. I'm going to go, dude, it's Final Fantasy 14. It definitely is Final Fantasy 14 because of how much support and also how much like work they've done with that game over the past like so many years and stuff since the game's release. I mean, at one point they had to redo the entirety of that game in order for it to actually be successful based upon fan feedback and stuff. It's Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah. Destiny 2 won't win it, and we talked about this. People were kind of pissed off when they got nominated, but we found out that the votes literally went in just a couple days before the layoffs and everything that came out of Bungie. So if the votes for the nominations happened a couple days later, it wouldn't be here. It's definitely a list where we see a lot of the same games over and over again, where I feel like it's kind of like muddled in like the like ongoing as well, where it's like it's a little bit of an issue where like what's exactly is the difference here. I'm going to go Baldur's Gate 3.
Okay.
Probably here. I don't know. I think it's like Cyberpunk 2077 has done a good job, I would say. But it, like, you know, like the definition here is recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency, and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity, game updates, and patches. I mean, Cyberpunk 2077 definitely fits that category, but it's mainly because, I mean, it's been, you know, 3 years of getting their game in the state it should have been at launch. So I feel like it deserves a little bit, like, I'm fine with it being nominated, but I feel like it deserves a little bit of demerits as far as like, well, you kind of, you know, put yourself in the situation. So I'm not going to like give you your flowers for that. Like, hey, yeah, I'm glad you stuck with this game. You got it working. And like, it seems like everybody's really happy with this game now. And like, this game got working last year, but they've just been doing more updates and like totally revitalized the game this year, and then had the Phantom Liberty stuff. But I'm gonna go Baldur's Gate 3, especially because like just like going like probably the most game changing thing of this year for video games is literally them talking about interviews about how you can have sex with a bear, and like all of like the posts about them, and then just going with it. And then, like, even the fact that, like, they changed, like, things in the game where you can, like, get to the sex stuff faster with every character and, like, stuff like that. Like, this, like, they knew what this game was and they leaned into it. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't think anybody did it. Like, this, it's a great game on top. Don't get me wrong, it's a great game. But we see great games come out all the time. And that's just because you're a great game doesn't mean you're going to, like, do well. And they found something that hit that got people talking. And they didn't, they just kind of rolled with it, and they went with it in a good way. You know, they didn't like overdo it. They didn't fucking get weird about it, even though, I mean, it's weird, but no, it's, they didn't get weird with it. They didn't like kind of overdo it. Like, they found it. They found their groove with this game, and like, they found their audience. They found a way to talk to the audience, and they found, figured out what they wanted, and like, they've nailed it. They really have. Like, to me, like, this game has been in early access forever, and it's, there's been an audience behind it, but it's like, this game blew up because of social media posts, and it's bigger. It's so much bigger than it ever was because of the talk of the community, and then the way they have talked to the community. That's what has made this game such a phenomenon, is because of that. So I think that's why Baldur's Gate 3 in the end will win it. Moving on here, Gables 2. Oh, I hit the wrong button. Oh shit. I backed out completely. Best ongoing. Here we go. All right. We have Apex Legends, Cyberpunk 2077, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, Genshin Impact. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, I think we see four of these five games pretty much every year in this category. It's part of the problem is we don't see a lot of games year of year that like, one year the next continue on be great. I'm gonna go Cyberpunk 2077 here, just because they did the 1.5, they did the 2.0 update, you know, that came out this year that made some drastic changes like the skill trees and how like the game plays itself, and then having Phantom Liberty, which is like, everybody loves that expansion, and like, that's a big part of that is the expansions to these games. You know, like, almost would like love it if they just did like best DLC, you know, slash expansion thing rather than best on, or do that as well. But yeah, I've seen a lot of people like some backlash to this because I, you know, when I look at best community support, like I said there, like, I think that's a demerit there, because that's like updates and patches. That's what the game is, that's what that's about. And it's like, I don't think you should be able to like win because, hey, your game came out busted and that, hey, we fixed it. This is different where it's like, hey, here's content we added to this game. And like, all these games have done a great job of adding content to their games, but to me, I think the biggest has been that big 2.0 update and the Phantom Liberty update or expansion that came out this year. So how are you feeling this one, Gables?
I feel like the Fortnite's going to win this category only because, like, not only is it, like, one of the strongest in terms of, like, the best ongoing stuff and people are constantly going back to that game, but at the same time, when they went through and just, like kind of went back to, like, the origins kind of...
OG.
Like the OG Fortnite and how many players came back to it in droves and stuff... That in lies like how strong of an ongoing game that game is, to where you, if you just reset a lot of different things, you're still going to get so many more like people going and playing your game. I mean, you have to be doing something right.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I mean, they had what, almost 50 million people playing a couple weekends ago.
Yes,
like that game is bigger now than what it was, and like they keep doing. They've been like I guess there's a reason why this is probably the most successful game of all time. And I mean, like, they just know how to like change the game up just right, and just adding like the skins and shit like that. Like, yeah, I mean, they've got a business practice. They know what they want to do. I can't argue with you on that one. I do think that's like probably they're probably the two biggest. I think Cyberpunk and Fortnite, as far as major changes this year to their games, those are probably the two biggest ones. Next up here, Games for Impact. We're gonna skip this one, but I just want to say I've played Venba and Space for the Unbound. Both those games, phenomenal. But I'm rooting for Venba on that one. But moving on here, Gables, innovation and accessibility. I think we're going to skip this one too. Man, like all these games have done a really great job. We have Diablo 4, Forza Motorsports, Hi-Fi Rush, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Mortal Kombat 1, and Street Fighter 6. So those games are nominated, and it's awesome. I love that. That's still a major thing, and hope it continues on, gets bigger and better. Best performance here. So we have Ben Starr, who played Clive in Final Fantasy 16. We have Cameron Monaghan from Star Wars Jedi Survivor. We have Idris Elba, who from Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty. We have Melanie Liburd, sorry about that, from Alan Wake 2. She played Saga Anderson. Neil Newborn, who was Baldur's Gate 3, and also was one of the main characters in Diablo 4, kind of surprisingly enough there. And Yuri Lowenthal, who played Peter Parker in the Marvel Spider-Man 2. Gables, what are you thinking?
Oh, boy. Honestly, other than, like, say, Ben Starr voicing, like, Clive in some Final Fantasy 16,
my boy!
I have not heard any other person in terms of their performances and stuff like that. Oh boy. I think it's going to be going to like Neil Newbon. Newsom. Newbon? No,
Newbon.
Neil yeah, Newbon. Okay, yeah. From Baldur's Gate 3.
All right.
Only because that's pretty much the most vocal intensive game you can go for the year. You know, you have to be doing something right. It's if you're just going to record an RPG with like literally hundreds of hours of content. So yeah. It's like, yeah. I'm going to go with him.
Yeah. Gables, I think you're right, but my heart says Ben Starr, and I'm going to, and my penis says Ben Starr. My mouth will also say Ben Starr. So I'm going Ben Starr. Maybe it's me just it's wishful thinking, but God damn it. I hope he wins it. I just want to see that sweet, sexy face go up there and get the award. Sorry, I started daydreaming about Ben Starr. We're moving on here. Best audio design. We have Alan Wake 2, Dead Space, Hi-Fi Rush, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4. Really great list here. You know, Dead Space and Alan Wake 2. I mean, I talked about last week when we talked about nominations, and it's like, you know, you are a horror survival horror game. You need to have, in Resident Evil 4 as well, you need to have phenomenal sound design. Absolutely. But there's one game, Gables, that is literally built around its audio design, and that is the greatest game of all time, Hi-Fi Rush. So I'm going Hi-Fi Rush.
All right, you know, you go with Hi-Fi Rush and stuff. I'm going to go with something a little bit more unorthodox, and that's because I have played this game with, like, my Pulse headphones and stuff. But I'm going to go with Dead Space Remastered for that, because even when you are playing this game, you're going and exploring the depths and stuff of the Ishimura, and you hear, like, all the subtle, like, little movements and scrapes and stuff, the yelling, the things, and it just feels like everything's like all around you and shit. You know, the whole 3D freaking audio and all this other shit just going on and stuff. And it just really puts you in the atmosphere of like, oh, okay, this is a dangerous place. I am not supposed to be here, you know. I did try a little bit of stuff for Resident Evil 4, like with headsets and stuff. And that also has some good audio design, but I kind of felt like the more impactful one was with Dead Space. I wish I would have tried like Hi-Fi Rush with like audio stuff, because I know this game is specifically made for, like, you keeping track of the beats, you hearing little bits of, like, the patterns and stuff, so you can go and take out, like, different enemies based upon how rhythmic you are and stuff. So I'm going to go with Dead Space.
All right. A little pissed off at you for disrespecting Hi-Fi Rush like that, but we'll get over it. We'll move on. Fuck me. Best score of music. Alan Wake 2, you got to go first in this one. Alan Wake 2, okay. Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 16, Hi-Fi Rush, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Gables, what do you got?
I'm going Tears of the Kingdom, dude. That has a solid, like, solid musical track from... It just has, like, all that... A lot of that different types of, like, a mood, like, kind of music in that regards. The one deciding factor I feel like that makes me drift towards more Tears of the Kingdom and stuff is when that trailer released, like, before the game got launched and stuff, and it was some of the most hypest shit of, like, a trailer and stuff that I have seen in quite a long while, and it had that music that just hit perfectly with the seamless transitions and stuff. I'm like, okay, this is a fantastic soundtrack. This is a fantastic song. And it reflects really more in, like, implications of when you're playing the game, because you'll have subtleties, subtle music stuff, like, a little bit of ambience here and there and stuff, but it's definitely well-produced. It's definitely a fantastic score, so I'm going to go with Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay. Fuck. I'm going to... Man, as much as I love Hi-Fi Rush, I don't think it's going to win it. I think, like, the licensed music, I mean, obviously, it does include licensed music as best score of music here. Those are definitely the high points of the game as far as, like, how great the music is in this game. Yeah. I mean, the music is phenomenal, like, the end game and also the licensed stuff. But I've heard the score of Baldur's Gate 3, and I think it's really good. But it's one of those things where it's, like, almost like when you play the game in context, man, it's just when everything together is what makes what encapsulates all that. So I think Alan Wake 2, like, some of the musical moments in that game are top notch. But I feel like throughout the entire game, there's like two moments in particular that like, man, like the way the music is incorporated into the game are like, holy shit. It's some of the coolest shit I've done in gaming this year, if not ever. But like the rest of the game, like the music to me isn't like, doesn't stand out rather. If the old guards of Asgard do not perform at Game Awards, and what the fuck are we doing? So to me, it's between Final Fantasy 16 and Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Both games, you know, I talk about that, the way you tie in what you're doing in the game, the build up and the music. Both of these games made me cry. Final Fantasy 16, I cried of a pure hype because of the music and the circumstance. Tears of the Kingdom, like there's the very final thing you do in this game that goes with the music is just like, man, I hear that and it's just like, I just hits me with like raw emotions. When I'll just go back and listen to it. And like the Colgara fight, you have at the, was that the Wind Temple, I believe the one in the Northwest Temple.
Okay.
That fucking fight where it's literally a redesign of, the first boss fight from Wind Waker.
Yes.
Is just so fucking good. Man,
absolutely,
god damn, both these games. I'm going Final Fantasy 16, but by the thinnest of fucking hairs, I'm going Final Fantasy 16, because like, man, especially you talk about that, you talk about fucking trailers, that first trailer we got off Final Fantasy 16 where like they actually like with the orchestra and they found a way to work in all the different fucking titans. I can't think of the behemoth and all of them, like they found a way to work all of them into the song, was fucking awesome. And then I talk about like I understand why they didn't get nominated for Game of the Year, but I wish it was nominated for Game of the Year just so I can have the Game Award Orchestra play Final Fantasy 16 music. So I hope it's there. I hope they play some of the music, but I don't, man. Or if they do an orchestra out there, Final Fantasy 16, I'm fucking going. But yeah, that's my pick. Best art direction. This is for outstanding creative and or technical achievement in artistic design and animation. We have Tears of the Kingdom, Mario Brothers Wonder, Liza P, Hi-Fi Rush, Alan Wake 2. I'm going to take Liza P out, even though I think it's good. It looks gorgeous. It's very Bloodborne-y though, I guess. Tears of Kingdom, I'm also going to take out because this is not a knock, but it is just the same art direction as the art design of Breath of the Wild, solely for that reason. It's kind of like it's like my argument for like why Spider-Man 2 doesn't win Action Adventure, but it's like, hey, it's just more Spider-Man 2, even though I know it's not, but that's like, you know, anyways, I'm just like, at a certain point, you got to make up an argument in your head for why those won't win. That's the best argument I have. I'm not saying it's a good one, but it's all I got. Mario Wonder, the best parts of that game is the art to me, and just some of the crazy shit that happens in that game, with the art. Fuck me running. I'm gonna go Hi-Fi Rush.
All right, you're gonna go Hi-Fi Rush. Yes. I do agree that it is an excellent looking game. I will actually go with Alan Wake 2 on this one.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I can see that. Mario Wonder is probably gonna win it, and it's very deserved of it. But
Well, yeah. No knock on Mario Wonder. I feel like that has great art direction, especially when it comes to when you get the whole friggin' Wonder Seed, Wonder Seed stuff, and like it just craziness like goes into like some sort of like weird, like dream sequences and stuff. You know,
yeah,
excellent in that case.
Yeah. Best narrative here: Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Cyberpunk 2077, Phantom Liberty, Final Fantasy 16, Marvel Spider-Man 2. Who you got, Gables?
Oh boy, this is going to be something because I haven't even experienced the narrative of every single one of these games, but I feel like that it's going to be Baldur's Gate 3.
Okay.
I'm going to pick that.
I think it's definitely in the final two. but I'm going to go with Alan Wake 2. The narrative is that game. Like, I mean, the gameplay is great. The everything about, I mean, that game was great. It's phenomenal. It's definitely, I mean, it's one of the best games of the year, obviously. But I feel like what sets that game apart from anything else that we played, whether like from a Resident, from any survival horror game, but Dead Space, Resident Evil 4, is the remedy of it. It is so unique. It's so different than anything you will play. You know, when you play a lot of games, like sometimes like you like, oh, you play a game like, oh, I know, you know, a Kojima game when you play it, or, you don't even know it's, you know, you can play Death Stranding. It's like, Kojima made this game. You know, you feel that. You can tell by the way it's shot, by the way it's designed. You watch like a Tarantino movie, you can tell like all this. You can just tell by the way it's shot and the way it's produced, the way everything's done. Tarantino made that movie. And when I play Alan Wake 2, it's like you can just feel it is an Alan Wake fucking, or you could tell it's a Remedy story. It's totally different than anything else we've done. That's where I'm gonna go, Alan Wake 2. Moving on to the next one here. Best game direction. Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Super Mario Wonder, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I'm going with Alan Wake 2 again for that same exact reason. It's so different than anything else we played. So different than anything we played this year and maybe ever. And like just everything I said in the last one, it's gonna go for that reason as well. What about you, Gables?
Okay, this is gonna be a weird one here, but in terms of best game direction, I'm actually gonna go with, and this is gonna sound really crazy and off the wall, so bear with me. I'm gonna go with Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
I don't think it's crazy direction. At all. I think it's actually really, I'd argue it's probably the number two for me. So.
Here's the thing, though. With Mario Wonder and stuff, in terms of, like, the direction of it, I mean, there was definitely a lot of creative vision that went into the design of these stages, especially when every stage is involved in terms of any type of, like, Wonder Seed manipulation and stuff. And a lot of the creativity in regards to some of these stages, especially when you're filtering through, like, the foreground or background, or you're having to go and, like, ride different pipes or, like, going through, like, with snakes and stuff and, like, trying to go through certain courses, like, with rhythm, like, patterns and stuff. A lot of that stuff is so crazy over the top, and it emphasizes the whole aspect of, like, weird Nintendo at its, like, very best in that regards, to where I feel like this definitely led to a lot of what made this Mario Brothers game fresh. It definitely felt like a fresh experience, because this is unlike any type of game in, not just in that series, but in terms of certain platformers in general. Like 2D platformers in general specifically, to where they had an initial focus of what this game is, which obviously it's a Mario Brothers game. People play Mario Brothers games and stuff, but because of the whole creative direction of it, that pretty much emphasized something that was once, you know, that was old and gave it such a new twist that it really feels refreshing, that it makes the whole game feel like it's in the upper echelon of any other type of Mario game that's really came before it. Bearing like the couple of Mario Brothers games, or the whole various couple of like Mario games that people hold in high regards, especially to this day. But it's definitely, if I had to say, you know, because of their creative direction in terms of like their designs and stuff of this game, this puts it in the realm of like maybe top five Mario Brothers games of all time. You know, it's like that's that strong in terms of creative, and that's where I kind of feel like this game could win this category. So my pick is going to be Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
All right. Well, I think this is the last one here. Last, but certainly not least, game of the year. Alan Wake 2, Baldur's Gate 3, Marvel Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. Gables, do you want to pick, or you want to go first? Or you want me to go first here on this one?
I'll go ahead and go first. Okay. Before I make my pick, I will say every single one of these games are phenomenal in one way or another.
Yes.
All of these games are different in regards to what they bring to the table, what they have executed well, and also in any other year, these games could have taken Game of the Year. That's the thing about it. Because how this year of 2023 has been, we literally have like 20 games that could have contended for Game of the Year, which that's insane to think about, but yes, that's the reality of the situation. That being said, in terms of my like in terms of game of the year for what I feel like it's going to be at the Game Awards, I feel like the momentum is fairly clear. I feel it's going to go the direction of the game that's had the most nominations, the game that's had the most like emphasis and talk, and the whole aspect of how much popularity this game has gotten ever since its release. I feel like it's going to go to Baldur's Gate 3. I absolutely feel that. I have never played it. I have not had any type of like, really any type of like interactions with the game. I've seen different videos on it. I have heard people talk about it in depth and how much they really much enjoy it because of how much choice and how much different things. It's basically the video game version of Dungeons and Dragons, to where you create your own character, you go on your own set of adventures. There are definitely certain quests and definitely certain things that will remain the same regardless when you're going and playing the game, but yet, like those tabletop RPGs, they have multiple different directions based upon what you roll on the dice board and stuff. If you roll a critical 20 or something like that, you're going to go ahead and get the best option available. But if you roll like maybe a 1 or a 2, it's going to completely blow up in your face, and you may piss off a character that you never meant to do, or kill a character that you never meant to do, and it's going to affect your entire adventure all the way through. And having that much choice and having that much replayability in that regards, it is inside, in my opinion, that echelon to where people love playing through Skyrim multiple different times, or like playing through like Fallout 3 multiple different times, or the Mass Effect games, you know, or even previous Baldur Gate games. The reason why I feel, the ultimate reason why I feel like Baldur's Gate 3 is going to be chosen for Game of the Year is because it felt like when it released, everybody was so surprised, or mostly everybody was so surprised that it was doing not only this well, but how long people have been talking about it even after its initial release months later.
Yeah. Yeah. I've talked about this, you know, over the course of the year where it's like so many of these games came out and then like, but something else bigger, came, like something else, the next big thing came out like just days later or like a week or two later, like nothing ever had its chance to really have its own moment. And it's like, I talk about this year, only two games really had its own moment.
Yes.
Tears of the Kingdom and Baldur's Gate 3, where it's like,
absolutely.
Zelda, we had nothing for a month before that. And even, you know, in June was a great month, but it's like, we're still talking, like it wasn't as big, but once June hit, it was still talked about quite a bit. And like,
yes.
Baldur's Gate 3 came out and like at the, I think end of July, early August, and nothing for like a month. And like Armored Core 6 came out and it just kind of bulldozed through it.
Yes, it
wasn't until Starfield came out that like it finally like something else kind of broke up the discussion for like more like Armored Core 6 had its day and then we went right back to Baldur's Gate 3. Then like Starfield came out, had its moment, and it still felt like we kind of went back to Baldur's Gate 3 in a way.
Yep.
Not like we did not, like obviously it took some of that momentum, but like I agree with you. We're like, I think to me, like these are like, those are the two big games. And I'll say I'm very happy because like, I was very worried going into this, like this year, Game Award wise, like that's gonna be so boring. It's just gonna be Tears of the Kingdom. We all know it. It's so exciting. It makes it more exciting now because like, oh, now we have like Baldur's Gate 3. We're like, oh my god, like we actually finally like some real competition here. And then we have Alan Wake 2 at the last minute. Throw a little monkey wrench in there on top of it. Like, man, it's got that late push, that late momentum. Like these, like to me, there's like these are the three that I feel like are gonna win it. Like. The rest of you three, hey, congratulations on being nominated, honestly. But to me, it's down to the, like immediately down to those three. But I'm going to go, and I don't feel good about any of these again.
Right.
I'm going to go, fuck, what am I going to go? Still working on my head. I had it when I was working my way to make my pick, and then I'm like, well, maybe not. I'm going to go Yeah, I'm going to go Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay.
I was going to say Alan Wake. Originally I was going to say Alan Wake 2, but I'm going to go Tears of the Kingdom. It's to me it's just it was a front runner in January months before it came out, and to me when we're done with this year, I feel like it's going to be the winner. I don't feel absolutely. Like I'm not, like I wouldn't, like if you like, hey Tyler, Like, would you place a bet on this? No, I would never. No. But I think that's ultimately, I think that's where it's going to end up going. So, yeah, that is all that for our nominations, people. So if you guys, you know, want to go there and vote yourself, you can go ahead and do that. But yeah, I'm pretty excited. I mean, it's pretty, man, what a great fucking year, Gables. You look at that list, and it's just like all those games we just went through and talked about. It's like, fuck, man, what a, so many great games that I have played, and there's like, I look at, there's like fucking so many more that I haven't played. So, pretty fucking, what a great goddamn year we're having for video games as a gamer. But Gables, let's get into what we've been playing here, and then we'll get on out of here. Do you want to go first, buddy, or you want me to go first?
I want you to go first this time.
Okay. I have played just a couple more games, a couple games, same games I played last week, though. I have played, I finished up RoboCop Rogue City. Okay. More of what I said, the game was a fucking blast. They've totally hit the 80s, 90s cheese with the comedy and the humor, the overacting. Just RoboCop is just, you know, so quippy and funny. I don't know. You kind of miss that 80s cheese and that 90s cheese. And like, they do such a great job of like incorporating it to a video game, like just the gore of everything as well. Like, they do not pull any punches as far as like, they're not trying to make this a rated teen game. This is just like, no, this game is, very much over the top. There's gonna be a lot of gore. People's arms and body parts are gonna be ripped off. You can chuck people through windows from 80 stories high. I will say it's kind of like about last week where I was about 10 hours in or so, give or take. And I think I've ended up beating it probably 16-ish hours or so. Maybe I have to go look again. I haven't looked at my time on it, but I was probably in that area. And I'd say my one major complaint is I kind of was running out of steam at the end, on this, where if this game was like a 6 to 8 hour of just almost just like more like on a path, you know, more so than like, hey, like when like you do main missions, you are definitely like you're on, like you go to an area and you're just there and you're on a path. But like there are, like they do break it up and give you like, hey, you can go walk around this area, walk around Detroit, or go walk around in like the steel mill. And like, there's different things you can do in it, but it's like, you can easily skip it, but it's like, I thought the side missions were good and they're fun. But it's just like, honestly, after a while, it's like RoboCop walks so slow and it's like, man, I just want to get to the next fucking, I did all the side missions and shit like that. I found a bunch of like the collectibles and it was like, I enjoyed a lot of side missions, but it was just like, man, I got to a certain point where like, I wish I could just fast travel and get there. Like, I do not want to walk across town here, even though the town's like 3 fucking blocks and it takes you 2 minutes to get there. I'm like, God, I've walked this same town 2 dozen, 3 dozen, 4 dozen times now. I'm like kind of over walking through this town, but like this game, like I'm not, this game is so great. It's like, it is definitely like, it's the Final Fantasy Strangers of Paradise of this year, where it's like, yeah, this game is super fucking fun to play. Like the gameplay is surprisingly really, really good, but it's not robust enough to like, make you like, there's not so much, it's just, it is what, it's a shooter game. And like, there's not like a lot of different mechanics to it. So like, I don't know, like that's the one complaint complaints I have is like, where's thin? And like, there's not enough variety to the game that like, I could see, like, you're someone that like, maybe like doesn't just want a straight up shooter game. Like, yeah, you can fall off of it. But if you just want like, hey, I want to play as RoboCop and just fucking mow through people, game's for you. The other game I've been playing more, I talked about last week, I did pick up Super Mario Brothers RPG. Or is it just called Mario RPG, I guess?
Super Mario
RPG, okay. I'm about 4.5 hours in now. Okay. I've gotten 3 stars. I just did the tower, and I just got to...
Oh, yeah.
I just went up the hill, so I'm at the point now where I've got Peach. I'm just kind of bored, Gables. I don't have anything bad to say about it. I think, like, I like the writing. I like the characters. I think the combat isn't that fun. And I know we talk about like, it's kind of like, it's very easy. It's like the game is built more so around the characters and the writing. And like, I agree, it's good.
Right.
But the moment to moment gameplay, I just am not having a great time with it. I'm going to go back to it. I'm not like done with this game. Cause I am enjoying the writing and the characters. And I like all that. Like some of the places you're going to, but it's just like, I just feel like like there's really no point in like doing the combat in this game at all, like because you get so little experience points, so like grinding is kind of pointless in this game. You know, like, and like the benefits and what's the opposite of benefits?
Detriments.
Thank you. It's almost 1 a.m. here. Bear with people. Like they don't outweigh the detriments here, I guess. Where like, yeah, you can like time like blocks and like take no damage, but it's like,
right,
you miss a couple blocks and it's like, you know, one of your characters might be struggling here, and like now I'm wasting items that I don't want to waste, and it's like, cool, I'm gonna do all these fights to gain 6 or 7 experience points where I need like 150 to get to the next level. It's not really worth it after a while. So I was like, I don't know, I'm just, maybe this, I think it's one of those things where maybe this game just isn't for me. But that's really all I've been playing, Gables. What about you, buddy?
Okay, so like you, I have been playing a lot of Super Mario RPG. I actually beat this game. Took me around 14 hours in regards to do the playthrough of it. I mean, yeah, I've had experience playing Super Mario RPG before in the past, Super Nintendo version and stuff and this and that. But I do notice a couple of different things of improvements for the better. One is for like the earning of frog coins, the currency, which before you couldn't even earn during like in the middle of the random battles and stuff. There was a supposed frog coin glitch to where it prevented you from like getting certain like frog coin like accumulation or something in the Super Nintendo version. But I did like the changes to where then you will be encountering like special enemies that'll be a little bit tougher to beat, but you can earn these frog coins. And let me say though, when you do collect a lot of these frog coins and stuff, you can use that to, when you go to like the tadpole pond and stuff like that, you can exchange certain frog coins and stuff for specific items. I do know for a fact that there's another little shop. There's like another little like a tadpole right besides like, there's like two tadpoles, right, that sell you stuff in that toad pond. And one of them is based upon how you do for this whole like a composing for this composer, these little music notes stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so when you do that, he'll reward you with different types of cards, like based upon either alto, like alto card or something, or like soprano card or whatsoever. And from then on, you can get like better like items and stuff that'll help boost up your team or this or that. In terms of the combat, yes, this definitely is simplistic. It also, like I recommended you do and stuff, is like you don't even need the level grind going through this type of game. You go through the specific places and stuff. There was like maybe one or two parts inside of my playthrough where I felt like I had to go through and level maybe like a little bit, because I was definitely feeling like I was gonna be getting wiped out, in like in terms of like I was in a section too soon, higher level monsters and stuff, and I definitely wasn't prepared, and basically wiped out. I only like one death in the entirety of my run in like 14 hours. But I did like the changes they did in terms of the graphical stuff, especially when it came to Booster's Tower, which is where you go for to get like the third star, roughly, when you get Peach. Let's see, the different changes I did like. The various mini games and stuff are still pretty fun, even to like to play through in this day. But I did like a lot of the graphical design stuff. I did like that they added the whole triple team aspect to the combat. I think that's pretty fun, because it's like, you won't know about certain like triple team moves unless you go and switch your party members to and from. One change I did notice that I did appreciate is you can change certain like team members on the fly and stuff by pressing the plus button and stuff. So let's say if Mallow fates during battle or something, you could switch them out with Peach and stuff, and Peach will act as the major healer. But I do like how, like in the original game, each character is really specialized after specific type of classes. Like, I would say Mario is more like a red mage, right? Well, he'll do various attacks and stuff, and he'll do like certain like super attacks or some kind of like almost like a magic sort of attacks, you know, where he's the jack of all trades but he's the master of none sort of aspect, whereas Bowser's more like a gladiator, more like a warrior or something of that aspect, where he's bulky but at the same time he has powerful weapons. Peach is obviously the healer of the group and, like, can go forth and, like, not only provide healing, but also throw out different types of debuffs and stuff on your enemies. And, like, Mallow being the mage, the black mage that fires all the elemental stuff. And then Geno being more like a, I want to say he's more like a, not like a Dragoon character, not like a Dragoon class, but he's definitely, I would feel, more like a fighter in that regards. Like a monk class, almost, where they can go forth and put out, like, different types of magic attacks, but they're very strong physically. Having gone through every other of the bosses and stuff, once you get into the role that you got, after the third star, that's where things start kind of picking up a little bit, because you get to experience a couple different more aspects, like going to, like, say, the whole aspect of getting to the Monster Town, and then getting to, like, Star Hill and stuff, and then getting right into, like, the last different portions of the game. It definitely does make the game a little bit more difficult, but for someone that's going to go through, like, a first playthrough or something like that, I can understand, Tyler, for where you feel like you're kind of, like, bored in terms of that, and that's kind of intended that way towards the beginning portion of the game, because now once you're past that point to where you're going further into it, it'll start becoming a little bit more interesting in terms of the combat. Well, in terms of, like, encountering enemies and doing this and doing that and stuff. But some of my most fun I've had playing this game has been getting towards the end portions of the game and stuff, finding the ultimate weapons for all my party members and stuff, like the ultimate armor stuff. There's this weapon that Mario can use called the Lazy Shell, where you have to do a specific type of, like, side quest in order to acquire the Lazy, not only just the Lazy Shell and, like, the Lazy Shell armor. And what's hilarious about it is, like, Mario's just kicking, like, this big old paratroopa shell right at an enemy. And based upon your timing and stuff, it will do a massive amount of damage. But, yeah, there are other types of items, too, that, like, other types of, like, ultimate items and stuff for each character and stuff. Like, say, Peach gets a frying pan.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
That she can go through, and it's definitely her strongest weapon. But, ultimately, after all that stuff, I really did enjoy my time playing Super Mario RPG Remake. It definitely did plenty of good of the, like, improvements over the original. You can obviously, like, switch between the classic and the modern music and stuff. I really like the modernized, like, music. I really like how they redid the music in here for Super Mario RPG Remake. But yeah, it was definitely a fun time. It's definitely fantastic. I can understand why a lot of people have loved it, because it remained faithful to the original game, and on top of that, it did like its best to go through and do different types of improvements. There is a post game. I have not gotten too far within the post game, and it's supposed to be a lot harder.
I've heard it's crazy hard.
Yeah, I've heard it's crazy hard too, and I feel like that's going to be one of those ones that I'm going to be checking out and seeing, okay, how exactly hard is this going to get? Because if you think something's going to be a cakewalk and all of a sudden you go to the after-game stuff, man, I haven't even gotten to, I haven't even done the secret boss yet. But, yeah, that was a fun time playing that. I did have a chance to play a little bit of the He Who Should Not Be Named in terms of the game and stuff like that, and I've completed a couple different acts already as obviously the Voldemort of the whole Drunk Dash Nerds podcast and stuff. Mm-hmm. And let me just say, though, it's not bad. It's not bad so far. I mean, I do like the whole designs of the whole, like, artistic style, and the whole gameplay feels smooth and stuff. There's not any type of major glitches or anything. It's fine so far. Yeah. I've only passed, like, the two major, like, acts and stuff for, like, the first and, like, the second sort of world things. But I'm seeing 7, so it's more structured, kind of like a traditional, like, game in that series and stuff. But at the same point, you know, it's not bad. I will definitely have to play a little bit more to get my full intentions of it. But other than that, though, that's pretty much all I have been playing. I do have interest in playing some Kirby's Return to Dreamland Deluxe. So hopefully I get a chance to play some of that on top of whatever else I feel like. That's just the thing, man. It's like with work, man, if I did had like a normal, like a couple of different days instead of like being like Black Friday, this and that and stuff, I probably would have played a little bit more of like, maybe I would have delved into Kirby's Return to Dream Land stuff instead of just sleeping like a rock and stuff for like about 6 to 8 hours. But yeah, that's it for me.
All right. Well, very cool. Well, if you like all this, please like, follow, subscribe. Check us out everywhere. Every podcast service, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Twitch. Look down in the description down below. There's links to everything in there if you want to get there real quickly. 5-star reviews, thumbs up, shares. Shares is probably the most important thing you do for us. Whatever you can do to help us out, we really appreciate it. I was your host, I was Tyler.
I have been Colonel Gables. And until next time, everyone, play whatever type of video games that you like. But most importantly of all, thank you for listening to another fun-filled episode of the Drunk-Nerds Podcast.
Hey, Gables.
Yeah.
Too sweet?
Too sweet, man.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Fuck Sonic.